It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
And we are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Does that mean he'll be at the all-staff meeting in that we just found out about June?
You better be there.
And we got a big Odyssey meeting. We will see you there. Insider calls are presented by Grainger.
Yeah, that's good.
With supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports each week. Jim Bowden, the former GM on The Athletic, one of his latest guests on the Brett Boone podcast. Good morning, colleague, co-worker Brett Boone.
Yes, I will be looking forward to the staff meeting. I will have a lot to bring to the table.
Yeah,
a lot of input, a lot of knowledge I've been holding back for a long time. So looking forward to that. Morning, boys.
Morning. I know they have like hitters meetings and, you know, like before the series meetings. Did you ever have to do like workplace meetings as a baseball player?
Oh yeah, right,
like the normal stuff that we all have to, like going through like the benefits programs
training
and things
modules.
You have to sign. Yeah, did they have that for baseball players back in the day?
That's the thing. Once you become a big league ball player, the rules do not apply to you any longer.
Almost anywhere.
And I'll tell you what, the day you either retire or you get fired from big league baseball, all the rules apply to you. So it's quite the shock when you're
rude awakening.
But no, yes, as a big leaguer, believe me, nothing.
It's incredible. There's a story that came out recently about Juan Soto, and I defended Juan a little bit because Juan Soto's a good hitter and knows kind of what he wants to do when he goes up to the plate. And, you know, but apparently he wasn't really engaged in some of these hitters meetings. They were telling some of the Padres hitters about tells, right? So if he does this, he may throw the slider here 80% of the time.
Right, right.
Soto was more kind of like, I've got my own plan and it's obviously working for me. I don't need this information per se. Maybe he didn't go about it the right way, Brett, but I wanted to ask you the info that they gave you. How were hitters meetings like for you? Were you into them? Were you not into them? Did you just want to go out, see ball, hit ball?
Well, it varied throughout my career. When I was a young player, I'd go in there and I want to listen. I want to learn. I want to hear from the guys that have been around the league for years and years and have a lot more. When you first get to the big leagues, you don't have a portfolio built up of time against these guys. By the time I'm, you know, late in my career and Roger Clemens is pitching tonight, you know, I might have some input in the hitters meeting because I faced him 30 times. You know, as a young player, I want to sponge off those older guys. Like, hey, what's he done to you in the past? Is he doing anything different? So I was there just to kind of be quiet and listen. And yeah, it's like anything. As you get more experience and you have something to add to the conversation, maybe you can help a young guy. When it comes to Juan Soto, when it comes to big league treatment in general, especially a Juan Soto, an established, one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
As a teammate, you do whatever the hell you want to do. I could care less. Just when the bell rings, as long as you show up, do whatever you want. Don't go to the meeting. I don't care. And there's none of that, oh, everybody's got to be treated the same. Not in the big leagues. It's all about winning games. Pick your friends later. You got to battle with 26 guys or 25. 3 hours a night. And I remember what sticks out to me is I went to the middle of my career, I went to the Atlanta Braves. And it was obviously an organization at the time. Everybody knows the 90s Braves. It was, you win every single year. And I went into that, and Chipper Jones that year, who ended up winning the MVP, he didn't come out. He didn't stretch with us. He didn't come onto the field. He didn't take ground balls. He had his program where when I got to the park every day, he was already there. So Chipper's there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon playing cards. He had a routine that he went through. He'd shower, he'd get into the cage about 45 minutes before the game. Him and Don Baylor at the time was the hitting coach. They go through all this program they had. He'd get loose, he'd stretch, he'd run his sprints under the tunnel. He'd warm up by throwing balls into the cage. He'd step on the top step some days at 7 o'clock for a 7:05 game. And I had no problem with it because Chipper was carrying the mail. And he put us on his back that year.
That's so bad.
And for any of my teammates that had a problem with it, like, oh, Chipper has to be out there and stretch. I said, why does he have to be out there and stretch? What do we care? He shows up and hits a 3-run homer. That's all I care about. Now, there's a catch-22 to that. If you're hitting 210 and you're on pace to hit 6 homers for the year, well, guess what you better do? You better get your butt out there and stretch with everybody else. But as long as you're doing your job, this is the big league. It's not about this and about that. It's about bottom line. It's about results. If Juan Soto doesn't want to take certain things from a meeting and he's out on the field producing, more from my perspective, as a teammate in that locker room, as long as he's not completely disrupting the entire program, which I'm hearing none of that, I've got no problem with it. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Click callgrainger.com or just stop by. I want to ask you about hitting coaches. Padres new hitting coach Victor Rodriguez has received high marks so far because, well, the Padres are hitting well and scoring a lot of runs. But I kind of refuse to believe that the last, 11 hitting coaches were all idiots who didn't know what they were talking about. And you see, like, professional golfers, they'll go through coaches maybe 4 or 5 in their careers and change all the time, a different coach for a different swing. And I've got to imagine baseball is kind of similar. Like, one coach doesn't fit all swing types on the major league level for a hitting coach. What was your experience with hitting coaches? How useful were they? How much of an impact can they really have on a team?
I had 20 hitting coaches. I can count on 3 fingers. That would be 3. Somebody that could actually help me. Hitting coach is, I think, the toughest job in all sports. Because, as you mentioned, Ben, when you're hitting well, man, you're getting high praises. Everybody loves you. And when the hitters aren't hitting, you stink and you should be banished from the earth. That's the way they're treated. And it's a tough job because for particular roster, you've got 12 guys that you got to work with. You're not going to see eye to eye with all 12 guys. The best hitting coaches I've had were not the guys that taught the physical. We all have different approaches. To be successful, we all have to be in the same position when that ball's in the hitting zone. We all get there a different way. But the best hitting coaches I've had were the guys that could say something to me that would rattle something loose in my head. And he could go to another hitter and say something completely different and get a real positive result out of that. A guy for me that was great, his name was Lee Elia. And he was Lou Piniella, one of Lou Piniella's guys. I knew Lee since I was a kid. He was a coach on those 70s Phillies teams that my dad played on. So I knew him as a little kid. He came to Seattle. And he would walk by me some days, and we had a really good rapport. And he'd look at me, and he knew I was in a funky place from a hitting perspective. He'd say, "Booney, how you doing?" And I'd look at him. I'd say, "Lee, how the hell do you think I'm doing? You've been watching my at-bats the last 3 days." And he'd say something, this is what sticks out to me. He'd say, "Remember when we were in Texas a week ago and you did that thing with your top hand and you said that helped you?" And I'd look at him like, "Yeah, I remember that conversation." He goes, "Why don't you just try that?" And he would walk to the end of the dugout. All of a sudden, I went from, sitting there moping on the bench with no chance in my next at bat to, "I've got a chance. Yeah, that's right, that top hand that we were talking about." So that's just an example of what hitting coaches there. They're more mental coaches. They're more psychologists than they are the physical hit. Now, yeah, you need a guy that gets there. He's there. He's ready to work. That's all I can ask from a hitting coach. I'll give you a quick another story. I'll try to make it really quick. Paul Molitor, one of the greatest hitters in the game. Love him. Hall of Famer. Love him as a man. He was our hitting coach in 2004 in Seattle. He came in. Man, did he work hard. He was there when you needed him to be there. Did everything he could. And at the end of the year, I had an okay year. And the last week, we're doing our flips under the tunnel, and Pauly looks at me and goes, Booney, you know, I knew how to get a hit. I said, I know, Pauly. I watched you for a lot of years. He goes, problem is, I can't help you get a hit. And we both started laughing. It is really hard. You have to have that one-on-one. You resonate with some guys and you don't resonate with others. But the bottom line is, once you get to the big leagues, you're a big leaguer. All your growing and teaching and learning should be done by the big league level. You should be a finished product. And at the end of the day, once you step in the box, it's all on you. So hitting coaches come and go, but the best ones are the ones that can somehow psychologically get in that mind and just put you into a good, positive frame of mind when you're about to get into that box.
That's good advice for coaches at any level, Booney. Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. And I wanted to ask you, I think the Padres, if you've watched the 20 games, they're coming out, they're swinging. They're swinging early in counts. They're getting balls to hit. Sometimes they're not damaging those balls. They're just finding some green right now. And that's as important sometimes as hitting lasers. And, they're living right now. But it does seem to be a little bit of a change in philosophy of going up, attacking early in counts. When last year, man, they would get themselves in some bad hitters counts and bad things happen. Did they drill that into you in your career, or what was your mentality? Like, I'm going up, I'm hunting first pitch fastball, and if I see one, I'm going to ambush it.
Woodsy, that's all an individual thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a guy like a Juan Soto who's going to see the most pitches of anyone in baseball.
Yep.
That's Juan Soto. And then on the other side of the ledger, a guy that I played against and we watched for years, Hall of Famer, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., he maybe walked 20 times a year. Pretty good results, though, from an offensive player.
No doubt.
And I remember when I worked with the Oakland A's in the minor leagues, and they were preaching, hey, you need to walk more. You need to get your walk toes. Well, that doesn't work. You're either a walker or you're not a walker. If you're a 40-walk guy a year, yeah, maybe you can improve on that with your plate discipline, control the strike zone a little bit better and become a 60-walk guy. But you don't go from a 40 to 100. I never met a good hitter that went up there looking to walk. You look to hit, and as you get more experience and a little more mature in the game, you learn to maybe shrink that strike zone a little bit and stay within the zone a little bit more. But I've never seen a great hitter that changed what he was. If you're an 80-walk guy, yeah, you can improve on that and maybe one day be 100. But you're not going to turn Vladimir Guerrero into a 100-walk guy, and you're not going to turn Juan Soto into a 40-walk guy. Both the results from both of their approaches works pretty good, and that's all I've ever seen. That's my belief. You can't change a guy. And sometimes if you're a low-walk guy and you really count on him, you got to walk more, that takes away their aggressiveness. And they become a shell of themselves. So I don't try to change anybody. Just get the most out of the individual, because it's so individualized.
Last thing for me, Brett. There's some teams off to some really slow starts that you don't really expect are going to get much better. The Rockies 4-14, the Marlins 4-14, not looking good. The White Sox just look abysmal. 2-14, they've been outscored by 53 runs. I know it's early, but what was the worst team you were ever on? And when did you realize, like,
this is who we are.
This is not going to turn around, is it? The 2000 Padres weren't great. I remember that, but I hope that wasn't
Padres
the worst one.
Weren't great. My 2005 Mariners weren't very good. 97 Cincinnati Reds. As a player, we're eternal optimists. And the obvious could be staring us in the face, where if we were anywhere other than in that uniform, on that field, representing that organization, reasonable minds would prevail and say we stink. But as players, believe me, that's all we got to live for. We get to the ballpark and we could start off 0-20, and we're going to say, hey, we're going to turn it around and we're going to win this division. Until it gets to the point where you're kind of mathematically eliminated, you'd be surprised that more than not, players on the field, you have to be living in fantasy land a little bit. You got to find a reason to believe, a reason to go to the ballpark and put on the uni and perform, because some years it's just the writing's on the wall. You're not that good and you're not going to make it. But as players, you kind of have to be blind to that until, like I said, you're getting to a point where you're going to be mathematically eliminated. And then you got to find another reason to get to the ballpark and put up numbers, you know, and that becomes a very individualized thing. But yeah, I was looking at that. There's some, you know, the Astros are
picked. That's so rough, man.
You know, by most analysts, they're in the basement. But But teams like that, I think they're going to come around. Pirates off to a great start again. The Kansas City Royals off to a great start. So as much as there's some teams off to a bad start that we kind of predicted were going to get off to a bad start, there's some that are off to some surprisingly good starts. So it's going to be interesting. Good to see the Padres won 5 out of 6. They're hot. They're rolling. This is a good ball club. This is a good team. I watched Cease last night. He looks nasty.
Nasty.
You know, he's giving up one earned run in his last 2 starts, kind of becoming the horse of that rotation. I think there's a lot of talent there. Musgrove, he's proven over the last 3 or 4 years when healthy, he's a real horse. Darvish is just a professional. You know, he's getting a little bit older, but he's just a pro. I have high hopes for King. I watched him a lot in New York. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's on the mound tonight. Yes. And Waldron's been doing a nice job. So, in that bullpen, how about all those lefties? You got from other than Suarez, Matsui, Peralta, and De Los Santos, they all got around to 1 earning. So they're in a good place right now, doing a good job. 1 game out of first place of those mighty, mighty Dodgers. It's been fun to watch recently.
They have. It's been a delight to turn the game on, and you feel like you're never out of it, Booney. So we appreciate you, buddy, and hope to get to talk to you soon. Love that insight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you at the staff meeting. Bring donuts. Talk to you later, Brett. Brett Boone, our Odyssey MLB insider. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.